This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. It is a Tuesday morning, and it is snowing outside. I just have to tell you, it's coming down pretty heavily here downtown. This is supposed to be round one. It is supposed to pass through without too much of an impact. Maybe, I don't know what I hear, an inch or so, maybe. But right now, if you're actually out driving, the highways, as I came in, I sure as Kim came in as well, are pretty snow-covered. I got stuck. I can't complain about MoDOT this time. I got stuck behind the snowplows this morning, Kim. How about you?
I did see him. There were more cars on the road than I'm used to, which is kind of ironic.
Yes.
The challenge for me was I couldn't see the lanes. You couldn't.
No, it was more snow covered than you might expect. And so I had to stay behind the snowplows for a long way, and thought I was going to be late to the show this morning, to be honest with you. But finally was able to get around them as we approached I-64 eastbound near 270. The highway widens out by another two lanes for the two that are going to exit onto 270, and a bunch of us were able to get around the snowplows, which I don't think is illegal. So if you have extra lanes, I mean, up until that point, they were blocking all of the lanes. So, they are out there working. I'll give them credit for that. And my guess is, and I could be wrong about this, that the hardest working road crews in the area this morning are going to be in the city of St. Louis.
No, doubtful.
Oh, come on. No, but honestly, Mayor Jones may be out there herself.
It would make sense that they would be, but they won't be.
What do you think, Carl Middleman? You live down here. You see any road crews this morning on your way in?
I saw more police than I saw road crews. So.
Okay.
I saw more road crews in the county than I did. In fact, I don't think I saw any in the city.
So we are going to be keeping you up to date on the weather all morning. The second round of this doesn't move in until later today, and probably after most kids are going to be out of school. So I'd be a little surprised. I know there are a few school closings this morning. That was probably a bit of an overreaction, sort of like what we had last week. What was it, on Wednesday of last week, mm-hmm. when the kids got a free day of school for absolutely no reason. So my guess is, even though it's cold out there this morning, the roads aren't bad. There was a little bit of snow cover on some of the highway roads. It's just that the crews hadn't had a chance to get to most of them yet as we came into work. So Dave Murray, meteorologist Dave Murray, will join us a little later this morning with all of the details on what you can expect today. It sounds to me that as this thing has gone on, the snow totals have dropped for most people in the immediate metro area. The expectation of snow went from a foot down to 1 to 3 inches kind of quickly. And part of that has to do with a cold front that's pressing in from the north. Of course, I'm parroting what I heard from several meteorologists here, that is going to decrease snow totals from, let's say, Festus North, not Festus, Fenton, that area north. And below that, they may still get a significant amount of snow, but there's going to be a pretty clear line. And above that, snow totals have dropped. Expectations have dropped fairly significantly. We'll get the full details from Dave Murray before the show is over this morning, so stay tuned. This initial round of snow that we're seeing will be long over by 8:45, and we'll get to Dave Murray on here to tell you what to expect this afternoon. Specifically, Carl, we'll get him on here to tell Sue Thomas what to expect this afternoon.
She's the one that needs to know more than anybody.
Exactly. Hey, if you're watching on the live feed this morning, shout out to one Carl Middleman, who has got Team USA, USA. The USA hockey is represented here this morning after kicking the living crap out of those snotty Canadians the other night. I've never been more filled with pride since we beat the Russians in 1980, Carl.
So they beat the Finns. Decided, I think that was 6-1. Then they beat the Canadians 3-1. That means they're already in the finals.
Yes.
So yesterday they lost to the Swedes 2-1. So it was a close game.
Probably resting everybody, right?
Yes. And so on Thursday night, it's going to be USA versus Canada.
Woo!
For the championship.
What time is that game? Do we know?
I
is that
like
it's
a 7.
A game,
Ethan,
that,
it's on my calendar out there.
Is it a game we can watch, I guess?
Yes.
I believe
it's on ESPN.
All right. Well, that's good because I definitely want to see that rematch. You know, the Canadians are going to be fired up. And I'll play this for you when I can ever get logged into my computer this morning. But if you missed it, the Canadians booed the United States when the national anthem played.
7 o'clock on.
Booed us. Now, Donald Trump was not there. If it was their message to Donald Trump about not wanting to be the 51st state, guess what? Line up and hope that we do adopt you at some point, and you can get rid of Trudeau and the rest of those losers who are your politicians up there in Canada. That was, it was really a snub. And within a few seconds of the game starting, some American players were beating the living hell out of some
two
Canadians.
Two St. Louis boys and one St. Louis player.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So on Canada, you have Jordan Binnington in goal and Colton Parayko on defense. But on the American team, you have the two Tkachuk brothers who grew up here in St. Louis.
Well, it was awesome, I'll tell you that. So we'll have more details on all that for you, all the breaking news from over the weekend, of course. But first, let's get to our top stories. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We just landed. Our plane crashed. It's upside down.
A packed Delta airplane crash landed at Toronto's Pearson Airport Monday afternoon.
Yeah, did you see that video? Was that amazing? And what happened next? Wait for it. CNN came out and suggested that somehow this was Donald Trump's fault. A crash in Canada, in Toronto, was somehow related to Donald Trump's cuts at the FAA in the United States. Yes, that happened.
We're not going to be catch and release is over. So those facilities that were at great taxpayer expense to welcome people, fly them to the city of their choice, give them a free hotel room at taxpayer expense, 3 meals a day, free medical attention, those days are over.
The question we have to ask is, how did those days ever get started? What kind of a moron was paying for 5-star hotels for people that broke into our country?
Last term, I could not even get the Democrats to bring it up in the Senate. It passed unanimous in the House, not even a question, because they're going to have to admit they made a mistake.
Yeah, here's the thing about it. You've got to find out exactly what's going on in this government. We've got to find out how in the world we're paying people who are 300 years old or 280 years old or whatever the case may be. But it's coming.
We have First Alert weather day for Tuesday. First thing you need to know is overnight into the morning, some light snow bands. Look, if you're not in that these little narrow snow bands, you don't get much or any snow.
Well, guess what? I-64 Farty is in that little narrow snow band this morning. And it's still snowing downtown. And I drove in I don't know, fairly heavy snowfall this morning. It's a dusting on the road. The thing Kim pointed out a minute ago is true. Even though MoDOT was out there and I was following their trucks, the lane markings still weren't clear.
The other thing
at this hour.
I agree. The other thing I ran into was, you know, when you're driving in snow and you turn your brights on and it looks like all the snow is coming at you and it's kind of that trippy feeling.
No, it looks like Star Wars.
Okay, that. But you didn't even need to turn your brights on because I guess the wind is blowing enough. It even without your brights on this morning, it looked as if it was all blowing into my windshield. And wow, that was kind of nauseating. On top of everything else, to be driving for 30 minutes, which is how long my commute is, with the snow coming right at my face, it looked like.
I know. It looks worse than it is because the end result, if they're correct, will not be any significant snowfall. It's just that for right now, it is definitely going to be impacting your roads a little bit. Just plan to give yourself some extra time as you head out. The bigger problem is it's 9 degrees outside. It's cold. So whatever stuff they put down is probably not immediately going to melt the snow. And you got some blowing snow out there as well. So be careful with that. I went to Ohio over the weekend and it was 2 days of rain and then the temperature dropped and it snowed 4 inches overnight. We woke up Sunday morning to like 3.5 or 4 inches of snow. And of course, the southern part of that was hitting Kentucky where they got that horrible flooding. 11 people reported dead so far in the state of Kentucky. And I've got a lot of relatives that live down there in southeastern Kentucky.
But how's Mama?
They got hammered.
What's that?
Oh, Mom's fine. Thank you. Yeah, drove her home to visit some of her friends this weekend in Ohio. We made it back fine. But we certainly have relatives down there whose homes have been put at risk because of the flooding. Nobody directly impacted that I know of yet. But they've had record levels of flooding in some areas down there. If you've seen the video, it's awful.
I would just say this is, well, first of all, been a terrible winter. If you love snow, I guess you're really enjoying this. But I, for one, am extremely tired of it. And you just think back to January 1st and how freaking crazy it's been. Think about the wildfires in LA. I mean, I know that the hurricanes happened, I guess, at the end of last year with all those states, Tennessee, you know, the Carolinas, right. Florida impacted, but they're still dealing with the aftermath of that into 2025. It just feels like it's been nonstop stuff happening.
And with all of the water damage, they're expecting snow on top of that today in southern Kentucky. So they've got a real mess on their hands. We don't have a whole lot to complain about around here. More on that coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim at the bottom of the hour, but Carl Middleman first. Who's got our national anthem?
Back when he could sing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Paul Simon.
All right, Carl tells me it is the birthday today of Dennis DeYoung. Have we figured out how old he is, Carl?
78.
Woo! Baby.
Still traveling with his wife that he met in high school.
Good for him. Still traveling, still singing. See Donald Trump at the Daytona 500 this weekend, taking the beast on a couple of laps around the track. I loved it. I loved the interview he did. I loved the reaction from the crowd. There's no way you could look at Donald Trump if you otherwise didn't know and guess he was 78 years old.
I mean, he doesn't act like it.
He brings an energy level that is just, it's just unbelievable for somebody his age. You have to pray that you have that level of mental acuity and energy when you're 78 years old. He's a man on a mission. I've enjoyed watching it so much. And here's the thing now is now get ready for the lies. The Democrats have nothing else to fall back on. They have no alternative game plan. And now all they can do is complain about Elon Musk. That's kind of where they've turned their hate is to Elon Musk. NBC News tried to tie Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Doge to the plane crash in Toronto, Canada. Go to cut four, Carl, please.
In terms of the recent string of aviation incidents, Tom, this is going to yet again raise the concern about FAA staffing, air traffic control staffing. Now, this is a Canadian air traffic control tower, and this is under Canadian authority once it crosses the border. And yet, as you know, there has been this talk about maybe staff cuts at the FAA as a part of President Trump's effort to trim down the federal workforce. And yet, as you also know, the FAA has been complaining for years that they are understaffed in critical job positions, especially air traffic control.
I mean, as a reporter, how could you do that report with a straight face, knowing that the crash happened in Canada? And if the people in Canada in the tower did cause the problem, they're not employed by the United States government.
Well, maybe they don't realize that Canada is a separate country.
Eh? Yeah, maybe not.
They're thinking ahead to when they're the 51st state.
I guess. It's a joke. CNN tried to do the same thing. They brought an aviation expert on to talk about how unsafe the skies were, and it backfired on them completely. Listen to what the guy told Phil Mattingly over at CNN.
And to me, as an experienced investigator and being involved in aviation as a mechanic and as a safety inspector for the FAA, I feel perfectly safe doing this. I don't see anything tying these together that says, oh, the FAA is bad or the system is a problem. There are incidents that are a problem.
Thank you. That is not what CNN brought you in to say, dude. But you pointed out the truth. All of these things are scattered and random, and 4 weeks into the Donald Trump administration, he did not have any impact on any of these crashes whatsoever. It's silly season in America again. And so now the lie starts. You know what they're going to lie about next? That Donald Trump is trying to steal your Social Security. How dare Elon Musk be involved in your Social Security or sticking his nose at the IRS. Wait till Billy Long is in charge at the IRS. Wait till our friend Billy Long gets put in as acting director of the IRS. You haven't seen anything yet. This is going to be fun. All right. Speaking of that, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
We obviously know a lot of Democrats are very upset with Elon Musk and some of these cuts he's made since, you know, leading Doge. That's been the biggest gripe.
Yes.
But what I'm not hearing as much about is the latest baby mama drama that he's at the center of. Have you heard about this?
I did. I recognized the lady immediately, but I'm not that familiar with her work, but I knew the name.
So 53-year-old Elon Musk supposedly just had a baby with 26-year-old conservative influencer Ashley St. Clair. She's a pretty well-known name, I would say, in the conservative arenas.
Yes.
She has more than a million followers on Twitter, makes quite a bit of money, she even reported from Twitter X. And she's written books, things like that. Well, she put out a public post against Elon Musk on Valentine's Day, blasting him because I guess he ghosted her. And it sounds like it was kind of a secret that was more widely known in certain circles in the conservative, like at the certain, you know, all the influencers there on the conservative side. But she posts publicly how 5 months ago she says, "I welcomed a new baby into the world. Elon Musk is the father. I've not previously disclosed this to protect our child's privacy and safety, but in recent days it has become clear that tabloid media intends to do so regardless of the harm it will cause. I intend to allow our child to grow in a normal and safe environment. For that reason, I ask the media honor our child's privacy and refrain from invasive reporting." Well, we know that won't happen.
Cha-ching.
Well, the whole thing is very weird to me. Elon Musk has 13 children with four different women.
worse than Cannon or Eddie Murphy.
So that may be, but do you really think, like, is he struggling to make mortgage payments each month because of all the child support payments that
he's making? No, I'm not thinking at all about the financial side of things, and I highly doubt he is. You know, I am a big advocate of welcoming more children. Be fruitful and multiply. You know, that to me, that is, you know, what I think God wants us to do, if at all possible. Obviously, there are extenuating circumstances that's just not possible.
But
to have 13 children with four different women, it sounds like you're not even in the lives of many of these children. I mean, we see X, his son, with him, you know, on his shoulders when he's in the Oval Office with Donald Trump.
Is that Grimes' kid?
I've lost track.
Oh. And he can't even play basketball. Normally, it's NBA players that have 12 children with five different baby mamas.
It's bad. You know, where is the foundation? I mean, again, I will always be the one to advocate for more children, but we need stable families for these children. I'm so sick of people. I know things happen. I know that the woman leaves, the man leaves. There are many, someone passes away. I mean, there are many reasons why a marriage dissolves or there's only one parent. I get that. Abusive situations. But we need to put more of an emphasis on the need for stable families for children. This is not about go have fun, go bar hopping one night, get blasted, and then go sleep with someone and impregnate them, or you get pregnant because you're, whatever the case may be. I just am so saddened to see all of this happening.
He's old enough to know better is the point. He's rich enough to avoid to afford condoms, which is the second point. The third point is, do you think the women are just attracted to his brain? Is that a fair question?
I'll venture out to say it's many things, including the fact that he is one of the richest men in the world.
I mean, honestly, what responsibility is Ashley St. Clair owe in all of this? She had an affair with a guy who's 30 years older than her, right? He's okay looking, but he's not Tom Brady like dashing. So what if he's a 6 or 7? Obviously, his $400 billion fortune, or whatever, however much money he has, $1 trillion, is it makes him a 10 to these women?
I guess.
So I would agree with you. I think there should be some responsibility involved on both sides. But number one, he's stupid because he's got to know he's a target for something like this. Mm-hmm. Ashley St. Clair just secured her future, basically.
See, and that's, I fault both of them. I just find this, so the whole thing, very sad. And, you know, Will brought up something on Facebook, and I'm glad you did. He talks about having no fathers as one of the reasons for gangs. That is obviously a problem, you know. And I'm not just blaming the father, but there's many other situations where the mom just says, I'm out, and leaves the baby with the dad. But yes. I found this video I want to play for you. I think this was some Instagram reel, but I think it speaks to kind of what Will's talking about. Listen.
You know, one thing I'm increasingly concerned about, the suicide rates and depression rates of young men in the United States. We have a serious, serious crisis of identity. Young guys are so confused about whether or not they have any worth in the world. I think most of it starts with lack of a strong paternal figure. I think when we're young, when we're 5, 10, 15 years old, 20 years old, if there isn't somebody there to like set us straight, or that we haven't internalized the message of what's the right thing to do, that we drift. This is preventable. We need more men supporting other men on how to be a good man. And not just looking to the examples of how they've succeeded in business or this and that. I think we gotta like crew up and take care of each other.
I wholeheartedly agree. Let's stop emasculating men. Let's teach them teach young boys how to be men. And the importance of supporting your family and being committed.
So I wonder, will this one's name be Y?
You know,
because the last one's name was X, right?
Well, yeah. So I think he goes by X, but if you actually look at the full name, it's
a whole bunch
like
of symbols.
Letters and things that I don't even know. If you ask me how to type it out on my keyboard, I don't even. It's like an A and an E that look combined. You know, look. You can name your kid whatever you want, but that sometimes it's just mean.
Be responsible.
Sometimes it's just cruel to the kid.
How involved is Elon in the lives of any of these kids? That's what I want to know.
See, that's my question. Are they going to grow up knowing their father, truly knowing him and having a relationship with him? Or are they going to grow up wealthy because they have a dad who's uber rich and they just will be able to say one day, my dad's Elon Musk?
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? You know how much those kids at some point when they're older would trade all the money in the world, I'm sure, to be able to have a personal relationship with a loving father?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I don't know what he sees. He's clearly not thinking. he's not thinking this through, although it's not. I mean, his kid, this kid, they say he's at risk, not having a parent, more at risk to be in a gang. He'll be able to buy his own gang, right? I mean,
sadly,
honestly, there's no way he's not like just here's $500 million. Take care of the kid. I mean, is he that cold? I don't know.
Well, how often do the kids who are basically handed everything on a silver spoon, how often do they end up entitled
and big problems?
You know, everyone, society makes you think that money is going to solve all your problems. If I only had more money, I'd be happier. That's just not true. I mean, time and again, it's proven that if you make more money, that can often lead to more problems. You buy more things, your expenses go up as your income goes up. It's not what it's cracked up to be. I mean, sure, more money can help, but that's absolutely not the answer. And the problem with that, too, is that people make a false idol out of it.
Yes.
They idolize money. I mean, not just money. They idolize a lot of things. And that's a problem in and of itself, depending on your views. Idolatry. But I don't know. Our society is just so twisted. And I think, to the guy's point in the video, I think everyone's just trying to search for meaning and value, and I found that through my faith, but I think there's a lot of people who, because they are desperately searching for that, they find it in the wrong place and they cling to that.
They should all be like Warren Buffett. Maybe Musk is like Warren Buffett. He's already told his kids, you're not going to inherit a dime that I have.
Oh, is that what he said?
He gave them jobs, like they're going to be in charge of handling his foundation, which will hand out all the money, and I'm sure they'll get a salary from that, but they're not going to inherit any of his wealth, because he wanted to teach him to be independent.
See, that I don't agree with that either. I think you can still give your kids inheritance, but I think you also teach them the value of a dollar.
Yes,
I think it's
and make them
both
work.
And. I don't think you have to have one without the other.
I agree. It's a good point. Yeah, I'm a big Elon Musk fan for what he's doing with Doge, but you're right. The
man up.
Personal life's a little bit of a challenge there, I think. Not that both parties don't deserve a little bit of blame.
Yeah, Ashley does too. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll get to our friend John Lamping, and also we're going to talk to Aaron Evans. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Democrats are eating themselves for lunch over what happened last November and the lack of any cohesive strategy to slow down Donald Trump right now. We'll get to Aaron at about 6:20. Stay tuned. Hopefully you enjoyed the day off yesterday for President's Day. An interesting article that I read yesterday, which I thought, if anybody's likely to do this, it might be Donald Trump. Although now that he's a president, maybe he'll be less motivated to do so. But there's a group of people out there encouraging us to make this Washington's birthday again and not just vaguely President's Day. And they said that Donald Trump has the power to declare the birthday of the first president, which falls on February 22nd, should once again be the holiday and not just something we call President's Day. I mean, that's what it was originally. We were honoring the founder of our country. And now it's become much more generic than that. Sue Thomas, are you with me?
I am.
I appreciate that. I have to tell you, I had an opportunity to listen to a history of the Lou with Sue this weekend. And again, a fantastic hour of programming. Can I just say that? Abraham Lincoln, in honor of President's Day, speaking of great presidents, and, you know, obviously we all know his connection here with the Lincoln-Douglas debates in Alton, but you schooled me this weekend. There were things about him that I thought I understood Lincoln's life fairly well, but wow.
Well, thanks for that. And, of course, it wasn't me. It was Jan Jacoby, who was the the guest, and he has written a series of books on Lincoln for young adults. But that's the kind of book that brings out the details you never hear in stuff that's too high-minded for, you know what I mean? Covering, yeah. Oh, here's the important things he did. You find out more how he was as a kid and what happened in his life to bring him to be president. And he was such a great person.
Well, Kim was talking about it earlier about the responsibility of parents. And you find out that his dad basically at some point after he lost his mother abandoned he and his sister for 6 or 8 months while he went back and courted a former girlfriend or somebody he knew that had lost her husband and just left him to basically fend for themselves with a neighbor, didn't he?
Yeah, with a cousin who was older and irresponsible. And so he gets back with he's married, he comes back with the new wife, and he's been gone for 6 to 8 months. And the kids are just ragamuffins. But that new mother, that stepmother, is the one who introduces young Abraham Lincoln to reading.
Yep.
And that's where things really turn around for him. It's fascinating, I think.
It was a great hour, and I would encourage people, you can download the podcast if you missed the broadcast over the course of the weekend. But that was great. Thank you for doing that.
Sure. I'm glad you're listening. I never know if anyone is, so thanks, Mark.
You educated me, Sue. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And you know, the other thing about it is that I always hear of the Lincoln-Douglas debate, and obviously I've studied up on that a little bit, and as a reporter years ago went over there and did a story on the little square that they've dedicated to the Lincoln-Douglas debate over in the Alton area. I never realized what a big deal Douglas was at the time, but that also opened my eyes up a little bit.
Yeah, Douglas was kind of the wonder boy at that time, and Lincoln was, Jan Jacobi talks about the tortoise and the hare. So Douglas was the hare. He's out there impressing. And, you know, here we got Abraham Lincoln, who's a little bit slower. He's self-taught. He's not slow in the mind. His mind is brilliant. But it takes him a while to go from a log cabin with no window into politics. And he's only 26 when he comes up against Douglas, or he actually knows him before. But it's an interesting tale of the wonder boy versus the really good hearted and good mind of Abraham Lincoln.
Well, there's many lessons there, one of which is stick to your convictions, because the one thing that set him out of favor politically, because he served over in the Illinois House for a number of years, one thing that put him out of favor was he was clearly uncomfortable with the idea of slavery.
Yep.
Maybe not as strongly as some people might have liked. And I think Brian Kilmeade wrote a book about that where he discussed it once from the standpoint of when he was president. In the meantime, that he's was always uncomfortable with it, and it took him a while to get around to the Emancipation Proclamation, but he always had those convictions.
Right, and they were his own. He was not affected or influenced by other people. He did what he thought was right, the end.
History of the Lou with Sue, I'm sure you can pick it up on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Awesome.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
Great job, Sue Thomas.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, by the way, Sue's going to keep you up to date on these traffic conditions. Roads are a little snow-covered this morning, a little dusty, a little dusting the snow overnight. I know we're going to get more later today. We will get meteorologist Dave Murray, the expert, in here about 8:45. This round of snow will be over by then. He'll tell you what to expect a little later today, more than likely. All right, coming up, I mentioned Aaron Evans is going to join us. We're going to talk more about the disarray in the Democrat Party right now. They're not sure where to go to fight Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.